you will, turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Our text will be verse 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth and sell it not. That's the title of our message. Don't buy what religion is selling. We don't need to buy religion. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, verse 22. Here we see religion. Romans 1, 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now look here in verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Religion is dangerous. You can sum up religion with the verses we just read. And by nature, this is all of us. We profess ourselves to be wise. God says we're fools. We take the glory of God. We corrupt it. We think God is altogether like unto ourselves. God said, there's none like me. To whom will you liken me? He alone is God. And we change the truth of God into a lie. We make the scriptures say what we want them to say and not just declaring them as they are. And serve ourselves, the creature, rather than the Creator. Remember now thy Creator. We need to worship Him. I'm interested in worshiping Him, not ourselves. We don't need to buy religion. We need to buy the truth. And as our text says, with buying the truth comes instruction. Or I'm sorry, wisdom. You buy the truth, you get wisdom. It's not enough just to have knowledge. We can get a lot of knowledge from this book, and we'd be wise to get it. Pray God would give us knowledge, but without the truth, without wisdom, it's just knowledge. It's just useless knowledge. With buying the truth comes instruction, correction. I need to be taught. I need to be taught by God. I need to be instructed. You know, every way of a man is right in our own eyes. Don't you need God to teach you? Don't you need God to correct you? With buying the truth comes understanding. We need to be able to understand. We need to be able to discern the difference between truth and error, between that which is of God and that which is of man. We need to buy the truth. What is the truth? Well, first, the truth is of God. The truth comes from God. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, God is a God of truth. And without iniquity, just and right is He. God is truth, and God alone is truth. We know the verse, let God be true and every man a liar. Only God is true. God's word is truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this is the word of God. Whatever the Bible says is truth. And God cannot lie. This is His word. Buy it. When you read this word, believe it. God is truth. God's word is truth. And God's works are truth. Psalm 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. Everything God has ever done is right and true because he's God. All thy commandments are truth. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. By that, amen. Amen. God is truth. And I love what our Lord Jesus Christ himself said. He said, I am the truth. All the truth there is can be seen in him. He is the truth. He is our wisdom. He is our instruction, our correction. He is our understanding. If we don't have him, we have no wisdom, we have no instruction, we have no understanding. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The field here is the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. The treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. If God ever shows us Christ in this book, we're going to buy the whole book. We're going to hide it in our heart, cling to it, hold fast to it, never let it go. Why? Because we found the treasure. We found the truth, the only thing of any value, the only thing of any importance. The whole Bible points to him. I just mentioned we can gain a lot of knowledge from this book, but if we don't gain the knowledge of him, useless knowledge. Totally useless. Christ is the truth. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall deliver you. Do you need to be delivered? Do you need to be made free? Free from what? Free from sin. Free from the bondage of sin. Free from the curse and penalty of sin, the judgment of sin. You who from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Buy the truth. Well, how do we buy the truth? It sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? Especially, I just said Christ is the truth. How do we buy the truth? Well, right here in Matthew 13, look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Christ is that pearl. He's the pearl of great price. He's the unsearchable riches of God. Again, when we ever find him, we'll sell all that we have that we may have him. You buy the truth by selling all that you have. And let me ask you, what do you have that you're not willing to lose that you might have him? Is there anything? This life is so short, it's but a vapor. Everything here is temporal. It shall soon pass away. What do you have you're not willing to let go of that you might have Christ? Is there anything? He's the treasure of heaven. Christ is all. He's the truth. He's the one thing needful. Is there anything that compares to him? Anything. Anything that compares in value, in necessity? Oh, no. If we're unwilling to part with something in order to have him, it's only because we don't believe in the value of him. See, if we weren't willing to sell all this other stuff in order to have the pearl of great price, it's because the pearl isn't of great price. It isn't of great value to us. But hear the word of the Lord. He's of great value. That's all I can say. Unmeasurable, unsearchable. Christ is of great, great value. But by nature, we just don't know it. We don't see it. This world is so full of religions, different denominations, and having no idea the value, the worth of Jesus Christ. And what that means is this world's religion is Christ-less religion. We read about it in Ephesians 2, verse 12. Without Christ, no hope without God in the world. That's the religion of this world. Christless. And I'm here to say any Christless religion is absolutely worthless. It's not going to do us any good. We must have Him. We must have the truth. Christ is the truth. What think ye of Christ? That's a good question, ain't it? What think ye of Christ? Is He precious to us? Is He precious to you? Is Christ all to you by the truth? Paul, I love what Paul said after the Lord saved him. Here's what the Lord did. He stripped Paul. He took everything away from him. His self-righteousness. All his useless knowledge. Because he didn't know Christ. God took it all away. Here's what Paul said. He said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." He said, "I lost everything and do count them but dung." I lost everything, but it's nothing. I lost nothing that I may win Christ and be found in Him. That was his desire, that he may have Christ, the truth, by the truth. To buy the truth is to believe the truth. Truth is truth, whether we believe it or not. God says, buy the truth. And sell it not. Receive the word of the Lord as the truth. We have the holy, inerrant, there's no errors, infallible word of God in our hands. We'd be wise to read it. We'd be wise to come hear it preached to us. And we'd be wise to believe it. Take God's word at face value. Believe it. Don't argue with it. Don't try to explain it away. Just believe it. May God help us to believe it. See, this is not a man-made book. Yes, men wrote this book. God's the author of this book. Let me show you this. 2 Peter chapter 1. Turn with me. 2 Peter 1, 16. Peter said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." They said, we were there with him. He took us up on that mountain. God the Father spoke to him from his excellent glory, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." That's what he's telling us. We've not followed cunningly devised fables. We're not feeding you lies, man-made lies. We're telling you the truth. God's well pleased with Christ. Hear him. And I love what he said after this. Look here in verse 19. He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now understand what he's saying here. We stood with the Lord on the mountain. The world couldn't see it. We couldn't see it until he causes us to see. We just fell asleep. But we saw his glory. We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And he said, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy." What could be more sure than that? Can you imagine standing on a mountaintop face to face with your Lord, hearing the Father speak from heaven? And he said, "We have a more sure word of prophecy." It's this book. Verse 19. "Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." That means it doesn't mean something just because you think it means it. It means exactly what it says. Verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." We have the truth in our hands. Buy it. Believe it. See, we will not be saved apart from belief of the truth. This is critical. That's why it's absolutely crucial that we know, that we hear, that we believe the truth. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians 2, right after Colossians. See, we're saved by grace through faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear the word of God. Here in 1 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You heard us preach the gospel to you. You heard it from our mouth, from our lips, but you didn't receive it as our word. You received it as the word of God, as it is in truth. And that word effectually worketh in you. That means that word, you heard it and you believed. God caused you to believe. By grace are you saved through faith. That's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest we should boast. We didn't muster up this faith to believe God. We don't find the treasure in the field until the treasure in the field finds us. He reveals himself. We just open your eyes one day and there he is, right in front of you. He must give us faith. You see, the truth is free. Well, I thought it cost everything. I thought I had to sell everything that I had. Yep, you do. You do, but it's the free gift. Faith is the free gift of God. Faith that buys the truth and sells it not. God's gift. See, either Christ is all or he's nothing. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot love God and the world, the things of this world. We either cling to Christ or we cling to something else. We don't add to what he's done. We can't take away from what he's done. It's all or nothing. Our hope is either in Christ completely or in something else completely. It's all or nothing. And God-given faith believes Christ is all. From start to finish, salvation is his work from first to last. And God's people believe that. I don't have to convince you of that. If you're his, he'll convince you of that. Of his own will begat he us. How? With the word of truth. We're going to hear his word and we're going to believe it or we won't be saved. Turn over just a couple pages to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith isn't up to us. I just said that we don't produce faith. Faith is the gift of God. I can stand here and urge you to buy the truth and sell it not all day, but you won't. I won't until God gives us faith too. That's the glory of God. Salvation's of the Lord. It's his work. We don't have anywhere to boast. People love boasting about their faith. I have no faith except that which God gives me. And pray, Lord, give us faith. Increase our faith. Call us by your gospel. Now, with that being said, somebody will hear that and say, well, if I can't do it, then how can God hold me accountable? God is sovereign, yes. But don't think for one second that excuses our responsibility. We're commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we love not the Lord Jesus Christ, we won't be saved. Buy the truth, sell it not. Here's the fact of the matter. If we die believing a lie, it'll be our own fault. It'll be our own fault. We will be content believing a lie, but God. Look here in 2 Thessalonians 2, look at verse 11. It says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. We choose not to believe the truth. We choose to believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You have pleasure in something, that means you're content with it. You're well pleased with it. This whole world is pleased to believe a lie. And I was right there with the world until God stepped in and revealed his truth, Christ, in me. Look at verse 9 right here. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. God allows men to rest, twist the scriptures to their own destruction. It's a sad thing, but that's just so. God allows men to do that, but when that happens, men are doing it willingly. They're taking the scriptures and saying, well, here's what it means. One thing that crossed my mind in preparing this message was, I pray that God would give me wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth. You know, you stand here to preach the gospel. It's a serious matter. It's a very serious matter. I don't want to handle the word of God lightly. And only if he gives me the wisdom and the truth to discern this word will I divide it rightly. But it's crucial, absolutely crucial. Those who believe not the truth, they have pleasure in unrighteousness. And again, that's you and me by nature. And that's the whole religion of this world. But if we're going to be saved, we must receive the love of the truth. We must hear the truth proclaimed. And our reaction must be, I love that. By God's grace. And that's the only way we can say that. I love that. Now, truth, this truth is no different. Truth, like any truth, is sometimes hard to swallow, right? You get a call. Oh, our brethren who aren't allowed to meet right now, that's a hard truth to swallow, isn't it? But if we don't love God's truth, if we don't believe in God's truth, if we don't buy the truth, we will not be saved. It's absolutely critical. Now turn with me to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. John 18, verse 36. All right, so let's start in verse 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Our Lord came into the world to bear witness to the truth. And we don't see the truth anywhere as clearly as we see it at the cross of Calvary. That's where he bore witness to the truth. There we find the truth about ourselves, the truth about God, and the truth about salvation, how the two can be reconciled. What happened at the cross? If there's one thing in life we need to learn, what happened at the fall and what happened at the cross? First thing we see is the truth of ourselves. We see our sin. We see our depravity. We see our corrupt nature, all right? When God removed the restraint for just a moment, and that's all it took, when he removed the restraint for just one moment, we see what we did. Not only do we see what we're capable of, we see the deceitful and desperately wicked heart of man. What did we do? Betrayed him. Judas, he walked with the Lord. He preached with the Lord. We see ourselves in Judas, what he did. That's our flesh. We betrayed him. We led him away. We crucified the Lord of glory. Betrayed innocent blood. You know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, I love Jesus. Maybe the Jesus of your imagination, but not Jesus Christ. Not the truth of God. Not the Son of God. Not God incarnate. We do not love Him by nature. We all hate Him. We nailed Him to a cross. If you think, you know, this whole world thinks they're an exception. Well, if I were there, I wouldn't have crucified Him. I'd have helped Him escape. No. First of all, He didn't want to escape. He was there for a reason. And second of all, we would have done the same exact thing. Even the disciples, they all fled and forsook Him. All of them. I would not have been an exception. And neither would you. At the cross, we see our utter hatred of God and His Christ. You know, sometimes we just look around and we just read the news and we see the hatred of God. But we need to see it in ourselves and what we did at the cross. That's our hatred of God. That's where we see it the worst. We hate God and everything pertaining to God. Everything. We don't love Him a little. We hate Him completely. By nature, that's how evil we are. We need to understand that. We need to buy that truth. We need to own it. That's me. I'm guilty. Second, we see the truth concerning God. We see the truth concerning who He is, His character. We see His sovereignty, don't we? We just read it in verse 37. He said, "To this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world." He was there on purpose. Christ was not on the cross by accident. He hung on that cross on purpose. In John 10, He said, "No man taketh my life from me." Pilate just said that your own people delivered you to be crucified. No man took His life from Him. He laid it down of Himself. He said so. He said, "I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." He's sovereign. We see the truth concerning God's sovereignty. We see the truth concerning God's purpose. He came to bear witness to the truth. He came to lay down His life for His sheep. He came to lay down His life for His friends. He came to save His people from their sins. And praise God, that's exactly what He did. He did it. It's finished. We're complete. He said, "I finished the work Thou gavest me to do." We're complete in Him. We see the truth concerning God's love. We know God doesn't love everybody. We know the Father loves only the Son. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He's given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. God loves those in Him. God loves those in Christ, chosen in Him. We just read it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "I thank God for He chose you to salvation." Chosen to salvation. While we, out of our utter, unjust, sinful hatred of Him, nailed Him to a cross, at that very exact moment, He was displaying His eternal, immutable, indescribable, unmeasurable love for us. I can't even fathom the thought. When people treat me unwell, I promise you, I'm not full of a heart of love for them, especially a sacrificial love for them. I want to slap them and beat them and not our Lord. While we cried, "Away with this man, crucify him, crucify him," He cried, "Father, forgive them." Who? The ones that are crucifying me. What love? And people want to talk about their love or their love for God. There's no such thing. There's the love of God and the love that God puts in us for Him. It's the only love there is. We see the truth concerning God's holiness and God's justice. How in the world could a sinless man be put to death? The wages of sin is death. How could Christ possibly die? It wouldn't be right. God will by no means clear the guilty, and He will by all means clear the innocent. How did Christ die? As our substitute. He took our sins and our guilt and our sorrows. He made them His very own. Let me read you a verse, 1 Peter 3:18. It says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." But God's not unjust. He made him to be guilty. He made him to be sin for us. For Christ also has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. God is holy. He punished his own son. You think he won't punish you? This world needs to wake up. We need to understand God is a God of judgment. God is holy. He will punish all sin. But praise God, he punished his son in our place. And if he punished him for me, he won't punish me for me. Christ is my substitute. Praise God. Here at the cross, we see the truth concerning the wisdom of God. How can man be just with God? That's the question, isn't it? Job asked that question. How could man possibly be just with a holy God? There's only one way, and that's in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Only in Christ, only by the sin-atoning, substitutionary, satisfactory death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, when he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever by himself, he offered it by himself, that's when we're saved. He offered himself. He perfected us forever by himself. We see the truth concerning God's mercy and grace, don't we? Mercy and truth met together. Where? On the cross, in Christ. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Only in Christ. That's the only way we're going to be saved, is in Christ, by the truth. Believe it. It's the only truth there is. That's the truth worth buying, isn't it? You know, everybody's freaking out buying and selling stuff like crazy right now. Buy the truth. You know, my 401k might plummet. There ain't nothing in there anyway. But you know what? That's all right. As long as I have him, I have the pearl of great price. What else matters? We have him. We have whom to know. We know him who's life eternal. We have salvation. We have Christ. We have the truth. Buy it and sell it not. Don't sell out. It's too important. This is too precious. Here in verse 38 here in John 18, I want to show you what Pilate said. Pilate answered our Lord. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? What is truth? Our Lord said, I came to bear witness unto the truth. Pilate, I can just see him looking at him saying, what is truth? Is it really worth this? As far as we know, Pilate believed he was an innocent man. And he said, is it really worth this? Is it really worth you dying on a cross? Is the truth really worth that? To our Lord it was. How important is the truth? The truth is everything. It's everything. This is eternal life. This is salvation. Whatever it may cost us, brethren, buy the truth. Believe the truth. And sell it not. Believe on him. Cling to him. Come to Christ. Believe on him. If God be for us, you know, it doesn't matter if the world's for us. We're better off if the world's not for us. The friend of the world is the enemy of God. But if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean that. Whatever happens, the Lord's in control. He's for us. No, it doesn't matter what's against us. God has given us his truth. He's given us the love of the truth. It is well with my soul. In a world full of lies, we have the truth. But here, the thing I've been waiting to say the whole message. We have the truth, but more importantly than that, the truth has us. He died for us. He bought us. He purchased us. He sold everything he had for us. Buy the truth. Sell it not. May God enable us to. Amen.